circuit. We think of time going up. And each operation in here has a set of outcomes associated with it. And so you say that the outcome happens if, you say that the operation happens if the outcome that you see in the experiment is in the set of outcomes associated with the given operation. And then we'll say the circuit happens if the outcome at each operation is in the set of outcomes associated with the operation. So we want to put probabilities on this framework. So we're going to introduce a starting assumption. Assumption one. We're going to assume that we can assign a probability to a circuit and that this probability depends only on the description of the circuit. So either given in pictorial form or in the notation I introduced yesterday. Okay, so the probability of a circuit can be assigned. Probability of a circuit can be assigned, and the probability depends only on the description of the circuit. So there's actually a few deep points here. So first of all, we're not assuming that you can associate a probability to a fragment. Remember, a fragment is something that has open inputs and outputs. And that's sensible because if you have, for example, a fragment like this, then if we try to say what the probability is for seeing this outcome here and this an outcome in this set here and an outcome in this set here, well, that probability could be altered by sending in different things here. So it doesn't make sense to assume that we can assign this probability. By saying that this probability depends only on the description of this circuit, we're saying that it's independent of some any other factors, like there might be, you know, something happening over here, maybe another circuit, maybe somebody's having breakfast. So the probability for this doesn't depend on the fact that somebody's having breakfast over here. We're also assuming that we've sufficiently characterized these operations. So it might be that the operation, for example, associated with this box, with B, it might be that the box or the sort of the piece of apparatus, so we're assuming it's got two apertures for outputs and it's one aperture for an input. It might be that unknown to us, there's actually another hole in here. And some adversary could send systems into that and then mess up this property. So we're assuming So this property forces the idea that these boxes are fully characterized. And that seems to be quite a deep point for this sort of operational framework. Okay, any questions on that?
Yeah. So that last point is that how is that different from this classical probabilities? You might just be wrong about something that you've used to determine probability.
Yeah. So I'm not here going to get into the sort of philosophy of probability, and there are different attitudes to probability, like you know that there are degrees of belief, that they correspond to some real properties of the system and so on. You know, properties are degrees of belief, then you can't really be wrong about them as such, although you could be inconsistent. You could have degrees of belief that are inconsistent with each other. If probabilities are correspond to some real property of the system, then you could be wrong, I suppose. I'm not getting into that property. I'm simply going to make the assumption that I can assign a probability, and it depends only on the description of the circuit. And leave it at that. Yeah, and I haven't thought about this within the context of that kind of question. It's a good question.
Could you assign joint probabilities?
Yes, but then you'd effectively be completing it into a circuit. So you could say, well, you know, if I know that I have a certain piece of circuitry down the bottom here and up here, then I'm turning it, you know, then I can have a joint probability of the whole thing. But that's just a circuit. Yeah. But that kind of trick is the sort of trick we'll use in defining things like states, because then we'll use certain fiducial things in the top and the bottom to make it so we can talk about probabilities with respect to certain sets of circuitry on the top and the bottom. Okay, any more questions? Okay. So remember, just we defined a preparation to be a piece of circuitry having only outputs. We defined a result. To be a piece of circuitry having only inputs. The one thing I didn't define yesterday that's a useful concept is the idea of a measurement. So a measurement corresponds to a collection of results which correspond to the same experimental setup, but where the results have disjoint outcome sets. And the union of those outcome sets is the set of all outcomes. So it corresponds to the same experimental, same setup, same knob settings. Is that clear? Okay. So given these ideas, now let's try and set up a notion of state. You know, in quantum theory, we have states. Let's try and set up a notion of state that works for these general situations. So states are associated with preparations. Whose? Is the yellow chalk a bit more difficult to see? It's okay, okay, good. Okay. So the state associated with a preparation should be, so it's some mathematical object that you can use to calculate the probability for any circuit which is built from that preparation followed by any result. So, you know, imagine we're trying to associate a state with this preparation. Well, there are potentially infinitely many circuits that we can complete this into. Each of these circuits is going to have a probability associated with it, and we want to be able to calculate the probability of any of these circuits using the state. Okay. So here's one way we could imagine doing it. So we could just imagine having a long list of all the probabilities associated with every conceivable result that we could put after this preparation to complete it into a circuit. So this would in principle be a very long list, maybe even an infinite list. So this is inefficient. So we want to be able to do something that's more efficient than that. And remember the case of the qubit or spin a half particle. Rather than having to list all the probabilities for all possible measurement or measurement results you could have, it was sufficient just to list four probabilities. So it's reasonable to assume that in general we might be able to do that. So we pick of results. Okay, I'm about to explain why I was using yellow chalk. So the yellow chalk pertains to the result. This is something that happens in a laboratory. This is a box which has an aperture in it corresponding to an input. This white chalk is a label. Like so. I don't know how you're going to write that down. Do you have two pen colors? In the papers on this, I use different fonts, but it's difficult to convey different fonts in handwritten. I suggest if you're trying to take notes, maybe you can make these things look like they're different fonts. Sort of, you know, you could use. In the papers, what I use is for yellow, I use backslash. So that's sans serif font, which is a sort of more upright kind of font. Whereas for the white ones, I just use the normal maths font. Yeah, they do. Yeah. The journals, yeah. Why wouldn't they? I mean, you can use it. Oh. What have I convert to red for what?
For white, well, for either. Yeah. White, or could you tell the difference between yellow and white?
Oh, is that the problem? Okay, so how about I stick with color for the experiment. So I'll use.
You should write the A the way that they do in like 10 to
1. No, let's stick with, color for experiment, just not yellow.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to write it like this. Can you see that? Good, okay. Really? Okay. Yeah, I guess white and yellow are quite similar. Can you see that? No. Okay, I actually brought a packet of colored chalk. Maybe blue is better. Yeah, well, okay, blue, good, and white. Yeah, I'm sorry about this. I couldn't think of an alternative way of doing it. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick out this set of results. So these correspond to a particular set of results. So that's a result. But we also have this, because it's a set, we have this label here. And so we need a kind of flag. I should maybe even do that in white. To say that we have this extra label. And since these are special set, rather than drawing a box, I'm going to draw a triangle. Okay. So this is a special set of results. Labeled 1 through to some particular value of k. And the value of k depends on the type of system you have. That's why we have blue chalk here. So to save getting, let's try to stick with blue now. So the stuff that's in blue is the stuff in the laboratory. So it's you have a box corresponding to operation, and you have some system going into it. So that's the stuff that's in blue. I also draw. Remember that blue is the new yellow. So I also draw all these boxes in blue. This one. So this one is a label. It's a number, an integer, and it just labels that you have a set of these. You have a set of these results labeled one. It's the same as this one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's different from that. Yeah, that's in yellow, which is the old blue. And that means that's right. Yeah. So so just to continue. So what I want to do is, I want to. I have a preparation. A, it's in blue, and I want to consider performing, having each of these results follow it. And I have, they're labeled by integers A equals 1 to K. Okay. In symbolic notation, it's a very convenient, it's very good to see things both in the symbolic and in the pictorial notation. They each convey different intuitions. Ultimately, the pictorial notation is the best because you can see what's happening. But the symbolic notation, I think, is very useful too. So now, I want to say that the state for this preparation is equal to the probability so this list of probabilities, I'll just write a few of them down. Okay, sorry, I'm making a mess of this. So we're just listing the probability associated with having this having the circuit where you have that preparation, then in succession each of the different results in this special set of results. And I'm going to call that thing using white chalk. So this is, if you like, it's the tensor or the vector associated with the preparation A. You can think of this either as corresponding to one of the entries, or in the way people do often in these tensors, I think as corresponding to the actual tensor itself, the vector associated with that. So does that make sense? It was sort of heavy-handed notation for some very simple idea, but the notation will come in useful later. So we pick a subset of results, and we want to write the state like this. But it needs to be such that we can calculate the probability for any circuit, not just the ones that have these fiducial, these special results. So any circuit has any circuit like that as a scalar product. So here we're assuming the summation convention. And this is analogous to, remember in the last lecture, I talked about having a P calculating the probability like that, the dot product. This is a list of probabilities. And then this is a vector that lives in an appropriate dual space so that you can form a scalar product. Okay, so this is just a different notation for the same thing we discussed before. Exactly, yeah, yeah. So so I call these sets of X's I call this a fiducial set of results. So it's a particular choice you make. So you could choose them in the case of a spin half particle so that they correspond to spin up and down along the z direction and then spin up along the x and spin up along the y directions. So that would suffice as a fiducial set. And one thing here is we want to choose the number of fiducial results to be just sufficient. Okay, we don't have more than we need. Any questions? Is it clear? So one thing I want to point out is notice that the probability for this circuit is given by an expression that looks exactly the same. You just change blue to white. No, blue means just the description. So each of these different boxes, you know, has a name. You know, like you might say Stern-Gerlach oriented along the z direction. Okay, and then these things point. These things correspond to those names. They're in one-to-one. They're in correspondence with those names. So this is just the, if you like, the classical description of your experiment. It has nothing to do with quantum theory. Yeah, yeah.
And then the little letter labels the type of system.
That's right, yeah.
And then the number labels the state of that system.
Which one? Sorry, which?
Like A sub one.
Which one? The blue or white?
Blue.
So this one here. Sorry.
Yeah.
So this is for the this is for a system coming out. Mm-hmm. This is for a system coming in. So an A. Oh, this number. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That labels the particular wire. So the particular connection between apertures. Yeah, you could think of it as the number of that system. Sure. But in a laboratory, the thing that you're able to see operationally is that this pair of apertures have been connected.
But then, so what again do we mean by probability of?
We mean that when we do this experiment, which, remember, looks like this. Then we look and see if the outcome here, remember every box can have lights and things that, you know, flash. Normally in quantum theory, we don't think of preparations as having results, having outcomes on them, but they can. There's no reason why not. And actually real experiments do often have that. So there's some outcomes here, and there's some outcomes here. Associated with A is a particular subset of possible outcomes. Associated with B is a particular subset of possible outcomes. Now we do the experiment, and we see if the outcome is in the set associated with A, and also the outcome over here is in the set associated with B.
So A and B mean this box, and also these particular lights on this box.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Or this set of outcomes, but yeah, yeah. With the simplest cases where it just corresponds to a particular set of lights going on. Yeah.
And there's just some go button that we push.
Yeah, yeah, you need some mechanism for saying when it is you're interested in this box. So one way to do that is to have a go button. Often in experiments they have a gating. So that tells, you know, you gate when you take data from here and here, and you match your gating up, so you're taking gator in the right time windows. So the gating or the go buttons are part of what you mean by the operation. Yeah, that's right. So is it clearer now? So that
the blue part is clear.
The blue part is clear. Okay. So yes. No, go on. Yeah. So the blue is what happens is a description of stuff in the laboratory. The white stuff is mathematics. So these are lists of numbers. Okay. So we have a. What we want to do is we want to calculate the probability for this experiment described in blue in terms of white. So if this was quantum theory, well, actually, at this level, you'd want to convert the density matrices into vectors, but it would contain the same mathematical information. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So you can also introduce a fiducial set of preparations, but at this stage it's just the demand. We're introducing a dual space for this space because we want to be able to calculate these probabilities in a linear way. So that's where it's coming from. That's the thing we're trying to we're setting up. One point that's worth making is you can always do this because in the very worst case, there's no compression. You just have to work with this big list I have at the top. And then your space becomes as big as the number of results you have. And then these vectors here just have all zeros except a one in the appropriate position. So that you can calculate the probability for any circuit like that. So in that case, your set of fiducial results is just a set of all results. Okay, so that's the worst case scenario. But it's reasonable that in physical theories you will have some compression. After all, what physical theories do is they relate quantities.
Looks like we're just summing up a bunch of products of conditional probabilities?
No, these aren't. No, I wouldn't think about it like that. I think about it as, because this is not an ontological model. We're not talking about some underlying ontic state. And in particular, in quantum theory, these things actually end up being negative. They have negative entries. So you can't, I think you have to just think of it mathematically. I've taken the big list, I've compressed it down as much as I can, such that I have a sufficient set of fiducial results that characterize the states. And so then I can calculate the probability of any result in this linear fashion. So it's coming from a notion of sort of linear, you can call it linear compression. A sort of mathematical compression. And you saw it worked out in the case of quantum theory, that you can write the state as a list of four probabilities for a spin half particle. And then we have to have some dual space object, because the sort of this linearity in the case of quantum theory, if you have the trace rule for writing down the probability, then you have something like this. And this is a linear. This is linear in each of the entries. I'm happy to entertain as many questions on this as necessary, because it's pretty. Yeah, it's nice. This is a sort of hybrid object. If you think about it, in any physical theory, you need a way of converting, a way of that way the theory points to the real world. If you don't have that, you've just got mathematics. So there needs to be some correspondence from the mathematics of your theory into the real world, some kind of hooks, if you like, from the mathematics into, this is serving that role. So the blue is the stuff in the real world, but then we have this white label, which you could think of that as a number painted on the box if you wanted, but it tells you how it's going to enter into this. No. I mean, it could be. In the case of classical physics, a fiducial set of results. A fiducial set of results in the case of classical probability theory is given by a single measurement, where you just look. Imagine if you had a classical system that's one of n boxes. Then, for that case, you could just look and see which box the ball is in. So you just perform a single measurement, and then the outcome you get tells you where it is. And so in that case, I'll maybe talk about that later. But no, it just lists a different set of think about in the case of a qubit or a spin half particle, you could say that A is equal to 1, 2, 4, but where 1 is corresponds to spin up, 2 corresponds to spin down along the z direction. And then 3 spin up along the x, and 4 spin up along the y. So these are, here you have 3 different settings. So here's a spin up experiment, and the outcome where you get spin up, here's a spin along the z direction experiment, and the two outcomes you need are where you get up and where you get down. And then here is a x spin measurement, and you're only interested in the outcome where you get spin up. And likewise here, a y measurement. Say that again. Big X is the. Big X is saying, so this whole thing here, if I have a 1 here, it's saying consider the result where you have a spin measurement device, whatever box it is you use to do that, a Stone-Gerlach apparatus, say. and you orient it along the Z direction, and you only and you consider the outcome where you get up. Okay. So I'm trying to distinguish here. There's a sort of something going on, which I'm trying to distinguish the mathematical objects we use in our theory to do calculations from the physical things we have in a laboratory, which make up our experiment, and you can give those things names, and so these are the names. The blue stuff is the names of those, and actually I suppose the white stuff is also kind of part of that name because it's a label for a particular set. Is it clear? I'm not doing anything that I didn't do already here. Right. So at this stage, we don't have to answer that question. But there's two ways you could answer the question. You could either say, well, for every single sort of object, every single way of building an object that has a certain function, you give that its own name. Or you could sort them into equivalence classes, where the ones that end up giving the same probabilities, you just like Rob did when I talked about the contextual thing there, you put them in the same equivalence class and just give those a particular name. Okay. No. Because here we're not interested in ontological questions. Here we're just interested in getting a framework for predicting probabilities. No, I don't think there is. I mean, if you sort your equivalence classes so that if I say this just corresponds to the whole, this labels the equivalence class of all preparations that are indistinguishable probabilistically, then it doesn't matter which one it is I have there, I'll get the same answer. And that's what I'm interested in, is the probability. Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Yeah. Okay. Two blackboards up there, that's good. So one way of, so here we've written this symbolically. We can also write the same stuff diagrammatically. So we can say that the state, we can associate that with this box, with this diagram. And I realized I actually want to put dots. I actually want to put dots on the end of these flags. It doesn't really matter for the purposes of this lecture, but it may be important later. So this is just a sort of diagrammatic way of writing the same thing. Okay. one thing we can think about doing is we can think about taking a mixture of different preparations. So we could say this preparation is formed by tossing a lambda-weighted coin and if you get heads, then you prepare this. And if you get tails, you prepare this. If you do that, then it's clear that the states will combine convexly. Is that clear? Because the probability for any of the fiducial outcomes measured on C has just got to be the convex combination of the fiducial outcomes for A and B with this lambda and 1 minus lambda weighting. Okay. So if we allow ourselves to make mixtures, then the space is convex. So here's a convex space have you covered convex spaces anywhere? Is that not in a course? Okay. So basically with a convex space, the important point is that if you take any pair of points in here and you join them by a line, then all the points on that line have to be in the space too. Because these are the points you get by varying lambda from 0 to 1. Here's a space that's not convex. Because if I take these two points and join them by a line, then I get points that are outside the space, outside the. And another feature of this is that there are some points in here which can't be written down as a convex combination of any other points. So this point here, for example, because it's on this curve, there's no way to get, you can't find two other points that where you can draw a straight line through them and they meet at this point. So this is not a mixture, and it's therefore a pure. These states here, some of the surfaces, some parts of the surface, I should say, for this convex volume may be flat, And then the points on here actually are not pure, because if you take this point, you can write it down as a mixture of a pair of points also on the same surface. So pure states are defined as states that cannot be simulated as a mixture. One additional thing you can show. So you might have been worried over here when I restricted myself to the case of linear compression. So I insisted that we reduce the size of the very long list down to a shorter list such that we can calculate the probability for any result on that preparation by a linear equation. And you might have thought, well, what about nonlinear expressions? Maybe that would be more efficient. Maybe I could reduce the size of the list down even further if I allowed myself nonlinear calculations. You can show that if you assume that you can do arbitrary mixing, then this linear compression is optimal. That's not difficult to show, but I won't attempt to show it here. Okay. Any more questions? So what one If you don't allow mixing, then this wouldn't necessarily be the case. So you could think about, say, pure state quantum theory. Well, there, the states are represented by, you know, vectors in a Hilbert space. And the way of calculating a probability from those is nonlinear. It's, you have to take a quadratic function of them. And then this wouldn't be optimal. You could find a better and more efficient way of representing, of compressing down. But in the case of having mixed states in quantum theory, this becomes optimal. So Dennis asked me to finish at 30. Okay, the next topic I cannot cover in 2 minutes. So I'll just, is there any more questions before we finish? Yeah. Okay. So I'll stop there then.